this winter, this coming winter, which seems like a long way off when you step outside, but this coming winter will be about 36 years where I, one winter evening, Friday night, decided to go over to Sensenik's Pond skating. And some of you know where Sensenik's Pond is. You have been there. If not, it's across from where Huber's Auto Sales, where Elvin used to have his business there on 322. There's a pond across the road there in the meadow where the young people used to meet to go skating. And so one night, I decided to go skating, and I met the most beautiful thing that I have ever seen on the face of the earth that night as I was skating there that night. And today I'm married to her. And it was just what made me decide to go skating there that night? I don't know. You know, there's been a whole lot of things that have happened since, and probably my children, they could finish the story for me, and because they know me. And this morning, I am able to say that I have a soulmate that I am able to share my life with, one that knows me, knows what I'm thinking without saying it, can finish sentences before I finish them, and who can tell me what I'm going to do, and I do it. And but you know that probably in all of our hearts there is a longing, there's a deep longing to have someone in our life that knows us personally, that knows me for who I am, that knows all about me, that knows or what as much as a person can know about me. And that, I assure you, did not come through Facebook or Twitter or Chatter or whatever else in the world that is available now to communicate to each other. That happened with Karen and I sitting face to face with each other, sharing with each other, getting to know each other. And I challenge you this morning, nothing wrong with Facebook, Twitter, and all those other things. You can use them, but there is a blessing that comes with sitting down and looking someone in the eye. There is a blessing that is shared. There is something that is shared that you will not be able to share in any other way than when you sit down and look a person in the eye and share with them. You know, we think we know something about someone, and all of a sudden we realize we really don't know that much about that person. You know, when they scout for baseball, the scouts go out and they try and find out about a person. They search everything that they can search to find out about the person and know as much as they can know about that person. I never knew Sam could make chicken like he does. You know, Austin, he can probably dig a ditch like I don't know anybody. You know, things that we don't know. There's many of you here. You can put a roof on and like nobody's business. And I, you know, there's many of you have talents and things that I don't know about you. And I'm, you know, find out about them and wow, that's a talent. And so there's kind of this here inside of us. We all want to be somewhat, have those kind of friends or a person who knows about us, knows who we are. Last time I preached about how that God wants us to know him. And so God is really intentional about showing us who he is. And today I'm going to talk about how that God knows us. He knows you. He knows me. He knows everything about me. He knows my thoughts. He knows where I go. He knows what I do. He knows everything. Hallelujah. He is omniscient. He knows everything. He is all-knowing. There are no secrets. There were three pastors who went fishing on a boat one day. And they decided as they were fishing there that, you know, they don't ever really get to let their hair down, just be honest about who they are. And so they decided that between the three of them that they would share there on the boat some of their shortcomings with each other. The first one, he started to talk and he said, you know, he has this problem with gambling. He just can't help himself. He sneaks off at night and he goes out and he gambles. And the second one, he said, well, he has a problem with cheating. He hasn't paid taxes in a long time. You know, these are things that nobody knows about these men. And the third one, he's sitting there not saying anything, and they started to prod him a little bit. And they said, we're not getting off this boat until you share what your issue is. And he said, well, my problem is I love to gossip, and I can't wait to get off this boat. You see, we all long for someone that we can share safely with. We all long for someone who knows all about us, that we can come to them and or we can share with them, and it's going to stay with them, and we can bear our heart with them. And I am here to tell you this morning, the Creator of the universe, Almighty God, is waiting for you to come and to share with Him everything that you already are and will be. He knows. Amen? So He is waiting for you to come and to share with Him. Turn with me to Psalms chapter 139. Psalms 139, verses 1 through 6. I will be sharing with you there. It is obvious today that many people suffer from a lack of an intimate relationship. And I think part of that is due to technology. You know, we hear of families who, even when they have time to be together, they sit around on their iPhones and their iPads and things like that. The time of being able to sit down and look each other in the eye and share with each other is kind of a thing of the past. You can live in one city and have family in another city and know pretty much about them. I have relatives in Missouri that I would know nothing about had it not been for Facebook. I wouldn't know much about what's going on in Missouri, because there's just not that communication, that sitting down with each other and getting to know. We also live in a rather highly competitive society where we see each other as a challenge, and there's kind of that there. We're kind of reserved to share with anybody any kind of weakness or anything that we might have in our own life, because we don't want to look bad. We want to keep up this here looking good. And so we don't want to share anything about what is really going on inside, some of the struggles that we're having personally. So we don't share them with other people because we're competitive. We want to look good. We want everybody to think that we are just pretty okay. Let me restate again to you this morning. God knows everything. He is omniscient. He knows everything. Omni means all, simply means all. I drove a Dodge Omni for a while, and it was less than all by a long shot. But Omni means all, all-knowing. He knows everything about everything that there is to know. There is no mysteries to Him. There is nothing hidden from Him. He knows everything about you this morning. When you're sitting here on your chair this morning and you think about that, does that make you a little warm? Does it feel like the heat turned up a little bit? The fact that God knows everything about you, it's as though in my mind, the things in my mind were running across the screen here this morning and everyone could see. See, God knows every thought, every word, and everything that you will do. He knows. You're not hiding it from Him. He knows it. There's not an area in life that God does not address in this book. There is not an area in life that God does not address in this book. If you are struggling financially, if you are struggling spiritually, if you are struggling physically, there is an answer in this book for you. But He wants us to come to Him. And He wants us to come to Him as people who know Him. People understanding that He knows us already. He knows what our needs are, knows what our desires are. He already knows. So come to Him and share it with Him. As I said, we are somewhat excessively consumed with this here needing to maintain an image, needing to maintain what we look like. It's a whole lot less serious of what is going on inside, what we're thinking in our minds, what we're saying in the secret places, what we're sharing about other people, the gossip that we're involved in, or the tearing down of other people. We're a lot less concerned about that as long as we are putting on this front that we're nice people. We're nice people. We're good people. We have this here. We maintain that. We put a lot of energy into it to maintain that we are nice people. One of the things this here scripture shows us is that God wants to be intimate with us. God wants to understand us. God wants us to understand that He knows us. That He knows us, the very depth of our heart, the very inner being, the thoughts, the actions before they are made. Let's look at Psalms 139. It says this, O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my laying down and are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, Lord, O Lord, you know it all together. You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain it. It basically blows my mind. So this is the beauty of what God is saying is that whenever you're in a difficult time, whenever you're in a situation that you don't know what to do, you don't know which way to turn, understand and know that God already knows the thoughts of your mind. He knows the intents of your heart. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're sitting down. He knows where you're walking. He knows where you're going. He is hedging you in front, and He's hedging you in back, and He has His hand upon you. Hallelujah. That should bring a sense of confidence to us, right? But I bet this morning that there are some of you sitting here feeling a little bit fearful. That God, the one, we spend a lot of time making sure that everybody around us feels like we're good and that we're at a good place. But the very one that we should be giving the most attention to is the one that probably gets the least attention as it relates to the fact that He knows what we're thinking, He knows what our heart is, and He knows what you're doing in secret. He knows what you're doing when you're away. He knows what you're doing in the quiet room beside your computer. He knows what you're doing when you're sharing with friends at where it seems to be a secret, quiet place. He knows every word. There are five things I want us to realize this morning in this chapter. It says God knows the things that I want us to recognize. God knows your heart. God knows your actions. God knows your ways. He knows your thoughts. And He knows your needs. He knows your heart, your actions, your ways, your thoughts, and your needs. So let's look at, I'm going to just read a couple of scriptures here that pertain to God's knowledge of us. Psalms 33, 13, 15. The Lord looks from heaven. He sees all the sons of men from the place of His dwelling. He looks on all the inhabitants of the earth. He fashions their hearts individually. He considers all their works. Psalms 147, 5. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. Proverbs 15, 3. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, keeping watch on the evil and the good. Isaiah 40:14, with whom did He take counsel and who instructed Him and taught Him in the path of justice? Who taught Him knowledge and showed Him the way of understanding? Isaiah 46:10, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand and I will do all my pleasure. Acts 15:18, known to God from eternity are all His works. 1 John 3:20, for if our heart condemns us, God is greater than our heart and knows all things. Hebrews 4:13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. Looking at verse 1, it says this, O Lord, You have searched me and known me. You have searched me. This should be comforting to us that God has already searched our hearts and has known us. He has searched you. The word search is like, it has the the meaning of digging in the earth to find something, boring or drilling for water or for metals or that kind of thing. This searching that God does of our hearts is not just a surface kind of thing. He knows the very depth of your heart. He knows the very inner being. He knows what you feel when you lay on your bed at night. He knows what you're thinking. He searches the heart. He knows it. He knows you. He knows me. Blackstone Exploration Company drilled a well recently in Arizona drilling for oil. They drilled 4,000 feet. In the process of drilling, they twisted off their bit twice, but they continued on, and they went for 4,000 feet where they believed there was oil. They got to 4,000 feet, there was no oil. And I assure you this morning that when God searches your heart, He is going to find something. And what He finds in your heart this morning, is He finding something good? Is He finding something of value? Is He finding oil or helium or whatever it is when He searches your heart, so to speak? Is He finding good things there? Is He finding what He has produced, what the Spirit has produced in your heart when He drills into it, when He gets to the very core of it, when He gets to the foundation, the platform where the rock is too hard to drill anymore? What is He finding? Is He finding a heart that is soft towards Him? Is He finding a heart that is bent towards Him? Is He finding a heart that is in tune with His and wants to be all that He wants you to be? Psalms 44:21 says, "Would not God find this out? For He knows the secret of the heart." 1 Corinthians 4:5, "Therefore do not go on passing judgment before the time, but wait until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the things hidden in the darkness and disclose the motives of men's hearts, and then each man's praise will come to him from God." And again this morning I go back to the leading of whatever that day when I was led to go skating that night and found the soulmate that was for me for life. Was it coincidence? I don't believe so. I believe that God has a hand in the things that are happening. And when we yield ourselves to Him, see, He knows. He knows just the right time for me to, He knew the right time. What happened was, the way I met Karen was, there was someone else skating there that night that stole one of Karen's gloves. And you might remember this story. If not, bear with me. But someone grabbed her glove and took it from her. And they skated over to me, and they gave it to me. Why me? So now she's chasing me around the pond, trying to get her glove back. She don't like when I say it that way, but in honesty, I didn't want her to catch up to me, but I was terrified to have her catch up. But you know, finally I did, and you know, that was Friday night, and so Sunday afternoon, I went skating again at this pond, and there she was again. This time I saw her in daylight, even more beautiful than at nighttime. I mean, I'm sorry. If I'm piling on, I apologize, but it's true. It's just... Anyway, I gave her glove back to her, and that's how we met. Was that coincidence? You see, God is in control. He knows everything. It's like orchestrating a play. He knows exactly the right time for you to move in. He says, wait, hold on, not yet. But now is the time. Give her a glove back. And we made eye contact. We saw each other. And it happened. You see what I'm saying? God knows everything. He searches your heart. He knows the very intent of your heart. We can make the world think that we are very spiritual. We can make the world think that. I believe that. But what does God think? What is God thinking of you this morning as it relates to your level of spirituality? What does He think of me? What does He think of me? See, I can make the world believe that I'm spiritual. And I challenge you again this morning, don't tell me how spiritual you are. Show me. Show me. Don't tell me how spiritual you are. Show me. It is by your fruits. It is by your fruits that you will be known. Fruit of the Spirit is what? It's love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. joy, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, all those things, they go along with love. Fruit of the Spirit is love. Do we love one another? In Matthew 6, Jesus dealt with the religious leaders, and he dealt with their heart because they were of the nature of putting on this here show of who they were, and they were deceiving. They deceived many people into believing that they were very spiritual in their nature, but it was just a front that was being put on. God knows if you're playing games with him this morning. He knows your heart. He knows what's going on inside. He knows if you're struggling to grow. He knows if you're having trouble that you just can't seem to get a handle on. God knows this morning. He knows it. The person sitting beside you may not know it. The person sitting beside you may not have a clue as to what is going on in your life. But God knows. He knows without a shadow of a doubt. And here's the beautiful thing. As you look at David, who is the writer of this psalm, look at David and how David's heart was somewhat bent towards wickedness at times, and he did some evil things. Remember the story with Bathsheba. But you never see David running away from God. He draws close to God because God is the one that already knows what he did. And he had a repentant heart, and he wanted to be free of the guilt. And maybe you're sitting here this morning, and you know deep down inside that you have been hiding a secret that you can't hardly hide anymore. You can't hardly keep a secret anymore. It is tearing you up. It is eating you up from the inside out. There is one that is waiting, who is willing, who is ready. At any moment that you will drop to your knees, he will not hold you. He will not condemn you. But he will free you. He will free you. He already knows your heart. He knows everything about you. Matthew 10:30 says, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. God knows you so well that he knows how many hairs are on your head. Anybody ever try and count them? I never did. I know it's a lot. He knows the number of hairs that are on your head. Who else has such intimate knowledge of you? Will you give yourself fully to God? Will you give yourself fully to him? Verse 2 says this, you know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. And let's focus on the first part of the verse. In verse 2, it says, you know my sitting down and my rising up. If there is for one moment that you believe that you can go somewhere that God doesn't know where you're at, that is impossible. He knows you're rising up. He knows you're sitting down. He knows exactly where you're at all times. And there is nowhere that you can go in secret. You might be able to go in secret from your spouse. You might be able to go in secret from your family. You might be able to go and do it in secret from the church. Or you might be able to go and do it in secret from at the workplace. Maybe you slip off and you waste time or whatever it is. You may be able to do that, and your boss doesn't know it. Your wife doesn't know it. Your siblings don't know it. Your children don't know it. But there is one who knows exactly where you are at all times. You know, the saying that what's in Vegas stays in Vegas. And some of you, you know, that's further from the truth than anything could ever be. Yes, your wife might not know it. Your boss might not know it. Your church might not know it, but God Almighty knows exactly what you're doing in that room, in that quiet time. You may think that you can fool, and you can. You can fool people some of the time, but you can never fool God anytime. Never. There used to be a TV reality show where they would film people who didn't know they were being watched, who were doing things that were cheating on their bosses and their spouses and that kind of thing. And I just remember seeing the expression on their faces when they realized that they were caught. They were caught. And that the whole world knew by this filming that they were involved in the actions that they were involved in. That should never cross the Christian's face, is the idea that they got away with something. Because the one that really matters is the only one that really knows. The one that really, really matters is the one that really, really knows what's going on. You may have hid those drugs in your car for the time being, but you can't hide them from God. You may have hid them from your parents, but you can't hide them from God. You may have hid the websites that you're visiting on the computer. You may have hid them from your wife. You may have hid them from your family, but you have not hid them from God. He knows, He sees what you are viewing. When you go in those video stores, are you sneaking into the sections that have things that are not good for you to look at? Are you sneaking into the magazine? Guys, I'm talking to you this morning. Are you sneaking into the fashion magazines that are coming to your house? You may be fooling her, but you're not fooling him. You may be fooling her, but you're not fooling him. He knows your actions. You know my sitting down, my rising up. You understand my thought from afar off. What do people do when they're confronted with something they did by someone? Many times they will lie about it. They will not tell the truth. They will lie about it. But the beautiful thing is, when David was confronted by Nathan about the sin that he had done, he did not lie. He hung his head. He said, I'm, in my words, a wretched man. If you want to find freedom this morning, there's only one way you're going to find it. There's only one way you're going to find it, is that when it is brought to your attention, and whether it's the Spirit of God that brings it or someone else that brings it to your attention, if you don't stop and hang your head and say, I am guilty, you will not find freedom. You will walk in bondage. You will walk in the bondage of guilt that is not yours to carry. And you can be free of it. The story is told of, and just to illustrate again that God is watching. God knows. He sees. He understands. And he knows exactly what is going on. The story is told, and I thought it's so beautiful, I'll share it. The story is told of Henry Martin, which is Gary Martin's grandfather, the founder of Shady Maple. In the latter years, when Henry was older, he spent time at Shady Maple just walking around there doing whatever he did. I remember seeing him there, but the story has it that when Henry would find out that someone was shoplifting, Henry didn't like confronting them. And Henry would take his stool. He had a stool that he would sit on. And he would take his stool to the end of the aisle where the person was, and he'd sit his stool there at the end of the aisle, and he'd watch them. When they went around the turn to the next aisle, he got his stool, moved it over, and sat at the end of that aisle and watched them. And almost without fail, they would put the stuff back. And I believe this morning that God is watching you. And it is his desperate heart's desire to let you know that he is watching you so that you have opportunity to repent. He wants you to know that he is watching you this morning. That's what I feel that God has laid on my heart this morning, is he wants me to know that he is watching me. And it's not that I will not, he's not watching me to see if I step out of line to beat me up. He is watching me so that I will repent and put it back where it belongs. the story is to, it's, I can't get across enough the seriousness of understanding that we have an all-knowing God who is seeing us. The story is told of a robber broke into a house, and there was a parrot that spoke to him. He said, "Jesus is watching you." And the robber thought, a parrot that speaks, what's your name? He said, "My name is Moses." And the robber laughed. He said, what kind of person would name a parrot Moses? And the parrot said, the same people that would name their Rottweiler Jesus. The point being, we might think that we're in a place where God doesn't see us. We may even make light of God not seeing us. We may feel that we got away with it this time. That lightning didn't strike, nothing happened. But he is always there, daylight or dark, he is always there. Verse 3 says this, "You comprehend my path and my lying down and are acquainted with all my ways." You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. He knows exactly where you are going to go tomorrow. I believe that. He knows exactly your path. He is acquainted with you. He knows what you're thinking. He knows what you're going to do. He knows the thoughts that are in your mind. He knows what your plans are for tomorrow. He knows what your plans are for this week. He knows what your plans are for a year from now. He knows your path. He knows exactly where you are going. And I invite you this morning to examine, is the path that you're walking such that will honor and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ? Is your path such that will honor that? In Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, we are told, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight." Hallelujah. If we acknowledge him, if we honor him, if we give honor to the fact that he is involved in our lives, he knows us, he understands us, he will make that path straight, and he will make it in such a way that it will bring honor and glory to him. Verse 4 says, "For there is not a word on my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it all together." And I go back again to the fact that you cannot speak anything from your lips, from your tongue, that is not observed by the Almighty God. If you have been gossiping this week, I invite you to come to the Father because he already knows. If you have been talking bad about your boss, I invite you to come to the Father because he already knows. And lay it out before him as David did, hang your head and say, "Yes, I am guilty," and you will find freedom. You will find freedom in Jesus Christ. Always. He will not let you down, I promise you. He knows the thoughts, for there is not a word of my tongue, but behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have, verse 5, "You have hedged me behind and before and laid your hand upon me." I was out in the foyer here a couple weeks ago, and as I observed Lene King coming in with Carter in front of her, and she's walking in through the foyer there towards the table, and Carter is a couple of steps in front of her, and he's walking right towards the edge of the table looking somewhere else. And we all who have children of that age know exactly what that's like and how much protection is needed in just for them to be able to survive from one day to the next. It's unbelievable. But Lene took a couple of quick steps and put her hand on the side of his head and protected his head from the table. And I thought how beautiful that was. When I thought about it, I was looking at this scripture and that picture came to my mind, and I can just see God reaching down and taking your head from time to time, saying, "You're about to bump into something really sharp. You're about to bump into something that's going to cause you to hurt." He hedges us in front, and he hedges us in behind. You see, he knows exactly. He knows exactly what is going on in your life. You can't hide it from him. You can't keep it from him. He knows exactly what your needs are. In verse 6, it says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain it." I cannot attain it. And when we think about that, when you think about how God knows you, it is way beyond understanding. And it should do one of two things. It should, and it might do two things. It should give us a sense of comfort And it might give us a sense of fear. And it should give us a sense of fear. That when we go into those quiet places, secret places where we think we're alone, if we understand and know that God is there too, you are not there alone. As alone as you might feel, as alone as you think you are not there alone. Let's stand together for a closing prayer. I'm going to leave the altar open. If you feel God leading you to spend some time here this morning, you have committed your life to Him, past, present, future, to this God who knows everything about you. There is nothing that you can lay on the altar that is going to surprise Him. So if God is talking to you this morning, take the opportunity. Maybe it's where you're standing. Maybe it's here at this altar. Maybe you need help. Don't let it pass, because God already knows. He already knows. And we're not going to hold you accountable. We are not going to condemn you. That is our heart. Father, we thank you this morning that we have opportunity, that before you, Lord, we can stand open. We can stand without hiding anything. Lord, we can stand before you and know that you know our hearts. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would reach into the very depth of every heart that is here this morning, Lord. And if there are things that are being hidden, that are not right with you, that are not made right with you, Father, I pray that you would extend that hand, that you would be that one that knows and understands our heart and our very being, and will reach out to us, Lord, and will bring healing and will bring freedom from the guilt that we carry. God, I pray this morning that your Spirit would move among us, that we would be able to leave this place pure before you, that our devotional life, our worship time, our fellowship with our spouses and our families would be renewed because we have been with you and we have made things right with you and we are clear with you. God, let not this moment pass. So, Father, again this morning, we recognize that you are an awesome, holy God, and that you know all things, and we commit ourselves to that. We release you to be that kind of God in our lives and to show yourself strong to us. In Jesus' name, amen. I invite the chorister to come and lead us in song. And if there is a time that God is speaking to you, don't let it pass.